Good morning. Who's still awake? So welcome to the last session of the week. This is going to be an audience interactive session, so you know we'll treat it as a bit of a Q&A, ask us anything. My name's Chris Auld. I think today I'll probably be wearing my Intergen hat still, just because at Microsoft New Zealand we haven't got a HoloLens yet, but at Intergen we have got a few. So Johnny Lynn is also joining me.
Hey guys. So I've been on the Intergen Seattle team for a while and got my hands on the HoloLens a couple months ago and just been playing around with it ever since. Talked to a few clients, so ask me anything about, you know, development.
Cool. And I'm Hussein Al-Badri. I manage the mobile innovation business at Datacom. And part of that, an extension of that, is a HoloLens practice that we've created recently. So we're on the Wave 1 units that came out of Microsoft, and we're pretty excited about this technology and also other VR technology. A lot of the stuff we do is kind of more from a user experience, coming at it more from a user experience angle. And Tibby, you can introduce yourself.
So I'm also from Datacom. I'm one of the solution architects. Most of the time I work with Microsoft Technologies, and recently, of course, we got HoloLens, and we've been experimenting with a few apps or games. Yeah, so that's what we've been doing.
All good. So we thought we'd start a bit by talking about the hardware first off. So these things are fully self-contained, so it doesn't need to be tethered to a PC. You are basically wearing a head-mounted PC. It doesn't have a fan, so it is really quiet. couple of cool little speakers on the side. But it's a fully self-contained PC. There are sort of really
surprisingly light when you put it on.
They're about sort of 500 or 600 grams.
Yeah.
So it's a pretty interesting bit of kit. There's really sort of two halves to the hardware stack to understand. One is the holographic projection system. So basically, inside here there's a couple of transparent lenses, and by looking at the bottom you can see there's really a three-layer lens, and my guess is that they're using polarized lenses and then shooting polarized light into those lenses to actually project the holographic images into your view. So it's able to project these holograms into this transparent view space and effectively make the holograms appear as though they're somewhere in front of you. And that's kind of half the cool bit. And then the other cool bit that is, in order to actually place these holograms into real space and keep them still, the HoloLens unit needs to understand exactly where it is in the physical environment that you're moving around. And so it has a number of sensors, cameras, time of flight camera, so infrared projector, infrared camera, and high precision accelerometers to understand exactly where it is in the physical space to be able to perform depth mapping of that physical space, and then also use the accelerometers to understand how it moves. Because again, to keep those holograms appropriately placed in the environment, we need to be updating that at, do you know how many hertz they updated at?
Not too sure, but you don't get dizzy wearing it. That's the main thing. And the APIs that you get access to has surface it looks for surfaces, and so you can say, hey, I want to put this hologram on a floor, and because it knows that the floor is like horizontal and big, or it looks for walls and I think tables as well. That's something
pretty that much scanning your physical environment the whole time, and you kind of see it when you put it on. It starts to map out the environment that's around you, and then what it does is that it's, if it remembers, so the holograms can actually be associated with a particular physical space. So if it remembers that space and you've placed a whole bunch of holograms there before, it's going to reproduce those holograms in that same place that you left them. And it could be that, you know, you might leave something behind a chair, or you might have to actually walk around a physical environment to see something, and that's probably the thing that surprises most people, because the tendency is that you see something on the screen and you stand there and you watch it, but you actually have to start, you can move around, you can get closer, you can put stuff behind physical things in a room, And that's the part that kind of messes with people's minds a little bit.
Yeah, I haven't tried it yet, but someone told me a party trick where you can actually take a chair, put a hologram on the chair, move the chair around, the hologram moves with the chair. So, you know, it's really important to understand that this is augmented reality versus virtual reality. And it's really important to understand whether the use case that you're trying to solve is best suited to virtual reality or augmented reality. Because if you just try and solve VR solutions with this, you'll be disappointed, you know, because obviously it does make some, you know, compromises.
Yep.
To be able to allow you to safely move around the physical environment, you know, wearing the head-mounted computer.
Yeah, and you've got to, some people would have heard about the kind of the field of view limitations within the HoloLens. If you wear glasses, it's usually you kind of get over it after a while, but that's the lack of the immersiveness, I guess, in it, is that you've only got a limited field of view. It's kind of like wearing a pair of glasses, and that's where you can see the holograms projected in your environment. Whereas in the virtual reality world, of course, you're fully immersed in the virtual world. So, Tivi, do you want to talk to us a little bit about the development tooling and the approaches there?
Sure. Yeah. So, what's inside is, of course, so that's the hardware part. In terms of the software itself or the operating system itself, it's Windows 10. So when we first started, Hussein's team actually built some Windows 10 apps previously. So if you know how to build Windows 10 apps, you can pretty much deploy to HoloLens. So there are two types of apps. One is the 2D apps. So any Windows 10 apps will run as 2D apps in there. So for example, Skype, or even the Windows Store app, Microsoft Edge browser, they all run as 2D apps. So that's the one that you've probably seen in some of the demos. You know, they pin it to a wall, and then they make a massive screen out of it. So those are all just simple 2D apps. In terms of 3D apps, or you know, even building games for it, the recommended platform is Unity 3D. So if you know Unity 3D, you are pretty much 99% guarantee that you can actually build for this. The extra bit is just some extra APIs that Microsoft had built on top of this. For example, you know, pinch and drag, real-time mapping. So they're all just built in. You just drag and drop, and it will work as it is. It won't be polished as the app that Microsoft ships it, but you could get it, most of it working. If you're feeling brave, you can actually use DirectX to build it. But I haven't seen anyone try to that extent yet. But so far at work, we've just been using the 2D apps, using Visual Studio, or to build something 3D using Unity 3D.
Who saw the announcements yesterday that Microsoft made in the event in New York? So the Surface Studio, and also they've announced some third-party OEM partners building VR headsets that will run Windows Holographic. So again, the same underlying development environment in a fully immersive VR headset, and the price points that they were kicking around, you know, $300-$400 US. So I suspect that, you know, it's also going to be worth keeping an eye on that. You know, maybe grabbing one of those as a second dev kit, or you know,
because under the hood it uses the same API or similar API. So once you build something for HoloLens, you could actually almost port it over with just talking for your things to the actual virtual reality world.
Yeah. Do you want to talk a bit about your dev workflow and some of, you know, the value of having a keyboard and a few things?
Right. So to send a program that you develop on the laptop to the HoloLens, there's a whole bunch of tools to help you with that. One of the apps that comes out of the Windows Store is the HoloLens dev app. And so I'm able to stream what the HoloLens is seeing while I'm working. And also it has a few things like looking at the cameras, looking at the files that's on the HoloLens device. And so when I program, I hit F5, it goes into a remote debugging session on the HoloLens itself. So if you want to do 2D apps, that's really simple to do. But whereas if you wanted to be using Unity 3D, which I use a lot, is what I normally do. Well, the projects I'm involved in is porting over Autodesk files, so CAD models, and exporting them as FBX files, which I import into Unity, and then I set up the environment in Unity, and then it exports out into a Visual Studio project where I deploy onto the device. So it's kind of like a few steps process.
And from an interaction perspective, I guess the way you interact with these devices, there's I guess a relatively new concept for a lot of people, which is the gazing and gesturing. So being able to look at the thing that you want to interact with, as well as getting your finger up there and doing a gesture. Now there's two gestures three on the HoloLens at the moment. The AirTap gesture is kind of the key gesture that you have. And so when you're doing that, you've actually got to do it in front of the sensors over here. So when you're wearing the device like this, you've actually got to look at the object you want to be interacting with, and you want to be air tapping like that. And that's, from an interaction perspective, I think that's probably the newest kind of thing that people don't usually get used to, because people are used to either navigating with a mouse. So you see a lot of people who look at something and they start doing that.
Also, what I've noticed with people is that, so what Hussein said, so if this is a bottle that I'm trying to grab and put it at the back, you can't just grab and do this. You actually have to move your head with it to move the object. Otherwise, it will just get stuck somewhere else.
The other thing that people have been using is voice commands as well. So a lot of the apps rely on voice commands. So it's got four microphones in it, the unit. And so it picks up your voice pretty well. Can get a bit on and off in noisy environments, but most of the time it's actually quite good at picking up voice commands. So a lot of people have used those to drive some of the interactions in their apps as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's just Windows 10, right? So, you know, you can pair a Bluetooth keyboard with it. We find this really useful.
Oh yeah, especially typing out passwords.
Oh, that's right. You'll be typing out passwords like this on screen. So yeah, it takes forever.
You know, it's worth getting a little Bluetooth keyboard. This one's a Samsung one, and just pairing that up with your device. And there's also a thing called the clicker that ships with it. This is just a little Bluetooth. Literally, it's just a button. It's a Bluetooth button. This is excellent for when you're playing Robot Rage. So Robot Rage is I think probably one of my favourite of the sample apps, because it is an augmented reality app, right? So you map your physical environment and you start playing Robot Rage and the robots come crawling out of the walls and shit. It's just, yeah.
And when you shoot the wall, the actual wall actually gives away and you see a hole. Yeah, that's quite cool.
So you can blast holes in your walls and all those sorts of things.
It freaks out some people as well.
So. Freaked out my wife when I put it on her. She's like, take it off, my house is destroyed.
You know, so it's thinking about some of those different interaction modes.
Well, the Bluetooth actually enables you to do a few more things to extend the HoloLens in a way. For example, the device doesn't come with a GPS unit, so it doesn't know where it is in like real world. It knows the vicinity that it's in. So I think there's a few projects that has it paired up with an Android phone to tell the HoloLens where it is in the real world.
Yeah, you know, I mean that's an example. So one of the some of the projects we're doing are around sort of engineering and being able to use it outside a little bit. Outside's hard for this device because a lot of the spatial mapping uses a time-of-flight camera, which requires IR projection, which tends to wash out in really bright sunlight. So being able to use a GPS as well to increase the ability to resolve where you are around the place.
Yep. Some of the other, so we've been doing, ever since we got the device, and similar to you guys, we've been doing demos with a few of our customers, and in addition to kind of the construction and engineering and architecture side of things, education has had a real attraction to this kind of device, because if you think about the way people learn, the way people can create environments, so it's not just the fact that you're displaying a 3D object in front of somebody that makes it cool, it's being able to place that 3D object within a physical environment and have other 3D objects that interact with it within the context of that physical environment is quite cool. So from an education perspective, it's definitely got a lot of attraction. From a retail perspective as well, anything that involves, I guess, big, heavy physical assets that you'd usually need to transport around, and it involves possibly a lot of collaboration with people who might have to be there at the same location, this kind of device starts to play a really, really interesting role. So one of the companies we're talking to is a car manufacturer, for example, and we did a small proof of concept for them where you can place a car inside a showroom and you can start to have all kinds of interactions, getting inside the car, placing multiple cars within an open space, being able to change colors, all that kind of stuff. It's stuff where you don't have to have 50 of the same model car. You can have a single model car, but then you can start to experiment with different fittings, different interiors, different exteriors, using a virtual kind of device.
So you guys have all seen like the Flash HoloLens Teams demos. You know, those are big budget demos.
Yeah.
Really big budget demos. So one of the interesting things with this is once you actually grok the fact that it's a head-mounted sensor machine, you can start to think about some other crazy scenarios. So we're working with some folks down in Christchurch, so they build wheelchair simulation tools. So if you break your back, go to Burwood, sort of patch you up as best they can, give you an automatic wheelchair, electric wheelchair, and then send you off home. And they produce a simulator solution for learning to drive the wheelchair. And that's done in VR. What we're thinking of using this for is a rapid spatial mapping tool. So we can actually go to the person's house, have the HoloLens guide us around the house to walk around the house. We capture the video off the front. We capture the 3D depth models off the device, and then we take that content and use that content in VR for the actual simulation. So there's actually a whole lot of interesting applications for this that don't require you to go and spend mega bucks to build out highly polished user interfaces that you could put in front of a consumer. It's actually a whole lot of really cool, cool stuff you can do.
What I was talking about before was Autodesk files, seeing engineering models like right in front of you. It takes a few clicks and do a few training sessions with the AutoCAD people, and then because they're already familiar with 3D programs like Unity, just teach them the steps and then exporting it out, and then they have their big model that they've been working on for like 6 months, and then just being able to see in front of them, like in actual 3D world. Just because using the screen is not the optimal way to view 3D objects. For those of you that plays 3D shooters, that's great. But if you want to actually go into details, it's just so much better to be able to look at that particular thing and then go into the details. And that's the value add that we are.
And the next thing we're trying to achieve there is to then actually be able to place these models at scale into the physical environment where they're ultimately going to end up. So to be able to actually go into a factory, place an engineering model in the factory where it's going to be, to be able to go out to a building site at twilight and be able to place that building into the landscape where we propose to build it.
And that actually takes it back to 2D apps as well. So if you go around a factory and you have this Power BI report that's attached next to the machine that it's about, instead of having to pull up your phone and then look up the serial number, you got the operating history of the machine right there and the instruction manual right next to it. So, for remote worker scenario, that's something that's pretty cool.
So if you think about the warehouse pick and pack scenario, you got to go around the warehouse and pick and pack out of various bins, using some of this to help drive that. So we can actually send the picking list to the HoloLens, and then you wear the HoloLens around the warehouse, and the HoloLens optimizes your traveling salesperson route around the warehouse and then points you to the appropriate bins and indicates on that bin how many items you need to pull out of it as you go. So again, you've got to understand augmented reality versus virtual reality so that you understand where you choose the appropriate technology. Yeah.
And the other challenge, I guess, from a content creation perspective is also the fact that these things are marketed, they're not marketed as consumer devices, right? They're marketed as business and enterprise.
And they're $5,000.
And they're priced like that, yeah. And the solutions, if you want to create polished solutions, they would be priced like that as well.
Yeah.
I guess the developer community is interesting because, you've had game developers over here who know how to do game development really well, who know how to understand the user psychology and use motion and all those kind of things when they're creating their content. You've got animators and all sorts of roles that you don't have in the enterprise application world, where people are used to making things work. You know, they're focused more on the business process, business efficiency, all that kind of stuff. And suddenly you're seeing this like amalgamation with this kind of technology, augmented reality and virtual reality, where these two are coming together. So the creation of the content, you know, the development workflow is fine, but there's also a storytelling element and also an animation element that needs to come into it all. And that's going to be an interesting space to watch as you know, the kind of skill sets that you might need to get on board to start working with these things and with virtual reality as well.
So guys, we've riffed for a bit. How about we take some questions? And we would appreciate if you want to use the microphones. If you can use the microphone. And the reason I ask is just because we are recording this, and that way we can capture the audio. Yep.
How far does simulator goes?
So the question I think was how far
emulators does it have an emulator?
Yeah, how far emulator. Does the emulator go? So yes, there is an emulator. Who wants to riff on the emulator?
Yeah, so there is an emulator. So in terms of the tool chain that Johnny talked about, they're all free. You can, if you go to Microsoft Dev Center, there's one of the first tab you'll see there is HoloLens, and it will guide you through all the tool chain to download. I tried using it. It wasn't the best experience. You actually have to try it on the device itself. I don't know about your experience.
No, I have the device, so I didn't use the emulator.
So I did use the emulator. So yes, you can do all the gestures that the device has, but you have to experience it. With the simulator, you're not going to get much out of it. But you can actually build something and then deploy it directly and see it work. But without experiencing it, I wouldn't.
A lot of the value with this stuff is, I guess, the depth sensing mechanisms, and that's what you get on the sensors over here. It's kind of when Rocky described it first time he presented this to us was this is Microsoft Kinect version 20. So they kind of leapfrogged what they've got at the moment in the Kinect technology, and they've embedded it into this thing. So that's the headset.
You are basically wearing a Kinect sensor on your head, right? Yeah. So you are, and the emulator does actually support those depth models. So when you run the emulator, you can feed a pre-captured depth model into the emulator to simulate the environment that you're in.
That's right, yeah.
The emulator is a useful tool. I think probably the best piece of guidance I would give is make sure that you have actually spent some time with the device prior to cracking open the emulator and starting to build stuff. You know, I think you will get a reasonable amount done in the emulator if you can't pony up the $5,000 for the device, right? And you need to go and beg, borrow, and steal to go and try it in anger. But, you know, you don't want to go and just start devving without having tried the device first and understand what the hell it is, how the hell it works, you know, sort of go to level 2 or 3 of the Inception model.
And also understand the limitations and so on.
What you see on the videos is, you know, that's a 2D representation of what somebody might be seeing on their screen. But when you're wearing this and it's a 3D object in front of you and there's physical environment constraints and all that kind of stuff, it's.
So let's take some more questions, guys. We will need you to use the microphone. Oh, wow.
So the question is, how opaque are the holograms? So first of all, if you have got a model and that's black, you won't see it because by black, the HoloLens renders it as transparent. So when you are using white objects, so most of my models are just pure white, so it's like blistering, shining in front of you. You can see through it a little bit. So I would say about 0.2, 0.3 opacity of your doing CSS style. So, as in, like, you can still walk around. Sorry,
it's not as CSS, but yeah.
But you can actually see the objects there. Like, so when you walk around, you do feel like there's things there, and then you can walk to the object, and you don't, when you're looking at the content, you kind of lose out on the details behind it.
Yeah, I mean, you got to remember, guys, we're introducing this into, you know, several hundred million years of evolution, and so we have to be a little careful you know, as to exactly how much we change people's reality, lest they start running into objects and hurting themselves. You know, so
you can tell what's a hologram and what's not.
Yeah, you need to be very conscious when, you know, building for these devices to understand that, you know, if your app's going to be used in a physical environment, how do you make sure that people don't hurt themselves? Gentleman in the middle.
No, so from all the applications and the demos and even what's available, I guess, in the tooling, it's still there is still a bit of transparency in it. So you can tell, you know, through the platform, you can still tell what's digital and what's real.
Yeah, again, if you contrast it with VR.
It's not that we're doing it intentionally, it's through the tooling.
Contrast it with VR. With VR, you can still, you know, I move through the environment, but the VR completely takes over your view, right? And once you start doing that, you know, the need, you've got to be a whole lot more careful.
Yep.
So.
Are there any actual for money developments that are underway in New Zealand, or is it just a chat?
Yeah, we've got a client who's on the clock.
A few clients.
Yeah.
Yep. We've got a couple of. It's more prototyping though. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but it's more prototyping and Skunk Works kind of engagements rather than a full blown.
I mean, those HoloLens, you know, the HoloLens team
it's
projects.
Not hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Six, seven figure type projects. But no, I mean, we're absolutely working with clients who have now multiple HoloLenses and who are using this in commercial applications.
4 hours if you're using it like always.
If you're using continuously, I think, yeah, it's 2 to 3 hours, and then on standby, something like a couple of weeks. We've used it in a couple of conference presentations actually, where it's kind of at a conference stall, and the battery lasts all day. It's, you know, if you put it on standby after you've used it for a while, it's usually quite good.
Most of the time, it's almost like playing games on iPhone. If you're playing continuously, of course, the battery's going to die.
Yeah, so it's, and it depends on the application. Yeah, that's right.
You could walk around.
You'd have to walk around.
Yeah. So you could only reflect to a certain point. So you can actually map the whole room, but you actually have to walk around and start mapping. No.
Again, remember to understand the way it works. So it's a time-of-flight camera. So it effectively has an infrared projector in the headset that projects a dot matrix array of infrared dots and then cameras that read those back. And we time the flight of the infrared light out of the device and back and then use that to establish a depth map. So you're relying on being able to project, you know, it's got to be light.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's the trade-off you pay, is the amount of power you've got for projection and so forth. Does that sort of make sense?
Yeah.
Sorry again?
The data. So where is the data stored?
Yeah.
So there's local storage on the device, 64 GB.
Yeah.
On the device, so yeah, it stores a lot of that location data locally on the device, and obviously it's you know, you're building Windows 10 universal apps, so you can call out to APIs and things like that as well if you need to.
And the data is in terms of location, it directs the map to the Wi-Fi as well. So when I'm at work, it connects to my work Wi-Fi and straight away picks up that location. And if I'm at home, it picks up my home Wi-Fi and picks up the location.
So I mean, there are a bunch of things that it does to help get an understanding of where it thinks it is before it starts going and looking at its library of depth maps. You know, because you walk into a room and it's an unknown room, you look around the room, the HoloLens device is trying to understand, you know, both the characteristics of the room, but then ideally try and work out if you've been in that room before, if there are any objects that should be placed into that space.
Yep.
We'll start over here. So the HoloLens Development Edition does not have expandable storage.
Yeah. You can just reinstall Windows.
The answer for all Windows questions.
but it's a good point, John. I mean, it's just a Windows 10 PC, right? You know, so you can go reset, and it'll just go and blow it away, and you know, start again. They have not indicated, and I'm sure they look forward to sharing more information on that in the future. But no indications yet. I mean, you know, this is a development edition, folks, right? You know, so you know, you need to be conscious of that. And, you know, and the $5,000 version doesn't come with warranty or anything like that. No support. You know, it is early stage access to an extremely sophisticated piece of technology, so I'm sure there will be stuff for them to talk about later. I've spent the last 12 months living in Seattle. This team is extremely tight. Mm. You know, so they are very, very tight in terms of. Yes, I mean, you know, don't feel that you're overly constrained at the moment. As Johnny said, you know, you compare this to a, you know, pair it to a Bluetooth GPS, you compare it to a phone, and use GPS on the phone device. So there's lots of options to step outside, you know, of this hardware because it is a Windows 10 device. Maybe the gentleman right up the back in the middle. Don't know. Again, you know, today I'm wearing my Intergen hat. You know, we're local. We sit in front of you as four guys from two partners. You know, we really have about as much access to information as you guys do, but we've just had the luxury of having devices since May because we got the credit card out. The gentleman up the back here.
So the question, we might want to repeat the question.
So the question is, what are the limitations, and what feedback have you given to Microsoft on those limitations?
So the first limitation that people always still have a bit of hesitation with is really the field of view, so how much you can see. That's got a technical limitation at the moment, but that's one thing that people keep referring to because the immersiveness of the device, you know, it reduces essentially when you put it on and you can't, you know, sometimes if you've got a big object in front of you, you only see part of the object as you're looking at it, and so you have to kind of move your head up and down to see the entirety of the object. So the field of view issue has been a recurring theme when we do a lot of the demos.
And some of that's that balance, right? You know, we can make it more immersive, and at some point we're going to get to VR, at which point running around wearing this thing in a physical environment starts to get a little bit more dangerous.
Yeah. The other limitation is price as well. It's expensive, and it is expensive to develop for it. That's kind of a limitation.
Now, so I mean, again, keep an eye on these VR headsets that were announced tomorrow.
Yes.
Common Windows holographic development stack, and they look like they're potentially going to be, you know, up to an order of magnitude lower cost.
Yeah.
To get one of those devices.
And on the price point, it's actually kind of relative as well. Like, we went to an engineering company who was just had a demo of the device, and they were asking, oh, yeah, so how much is it? We got like $5,000. Then they go only, and like they went ahead and ordered like two or three of them. So,
I mean, there are other sort of industrial focused AR solutions that are 3, 4, 5 times the price in market.
Yep.
The question is there any development being done on health? And so, yeah, there are a couple of health-focused demos, including, I think, one with the Cleveland Clinic out of Ohio that you can pull up on the HoloLens site. And there's also an interesting demo app from Case Western Reserve University that is sort of a human anatomy explorer. So you can go and I think they've done it from, they've done body slices, cadaver body slices, and you can actually go and explore a sliced cadaver in AR.
Yeah, there's also from an education perspective, I mean, that's kind of the medical education field is there's a few things going on there. So we're talking to a global publisher at the moment who are doing a bit of work with some universities in the States on the HoloLens for nursing education. Yeah.
Let me take a couple more questions. Gentleman at the side here.
As shadows. No, it doesn't recognize people.
What was the question, sorry? Does the depth modeling recognize people as people?
No, it's just another object, moving object, yeah.
Yep.
There's
a question. Is it
accurate enough to measure distances? Yeah, it's in the API.
Yeah, we probably need a little bit more digging on exactly how precise we can get it.
Yeah.
You know, I've got some great scenarios we could do if we could get millimeter precision out of a depth camera, but I'm not sure.
It's no, yeah, but it's in the API. So eventually they'll improve it, maybe.
So. If I was to steal one of those HoloLens,
I'm going to shoot you.
Now, if you were,
I'm going to watch you really closely.
if you were to steal one of these HoloLenses, you know, your good judgment would dictate that me being 240 pounds, you'd get that one. it's a Windows 10 PC. You've got a Microsoft account on it. So to an extent, it's locked, but you can unlock them by plugging it into a PC with a USB cable and flashing the device. The HoloLens Commercial Edition does have additional capabilities in terms of remote device management, Intune support. I think it has a TPM as well. So the Commercial Edition does have a number of additional security capabilities. But again, you know, I would discourage you to try and grab one.
So there's a brightness setting on the device itself. So obviously you want your holograms to fit the environment that you're developing for. And it's up to the user to adjust the brightness of the experience. And also like, if it's like designing a game, right? So how do you, it's all aesthetics. But at the same time, you want to avoid using really dark colors because they don't come up.
So if you want a supported device, you need to purchase the HoloLens commercial
devices, yeah.
And that then comes with, you know, support.
I haven't looked at the T's and C's actually.
if you want a supported device,
yep.
You do need to buy the HoloLens Commercial Edition.
Okay.
Okay, so first of all, the guideline is that you shouldn't put things that's floating in front of you all the time, because that blocks out like your vision. Okay, and I have been tempted to put it on while I'm driving, but no, I drive dangerously.
Folks, should we call that a wrap on Microsoft Ignite for 2016? Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, guys. We'll be right back.